Welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And before all of you start theorizing that I had a falling out with Big Candy, I did not. Just that I haven't gotten a chance to coordinate things with him this week. So that means, yes, I am flying solo once again. So please don't do that. Spread those rumors. I do want to have him kind of quote-unquote in studio one of these weeks and get back into that habit, hopefully. But for now, there's a few things I want to, at least one thing that I do want to talk about before we get into talking about Godzilla and like some of the other things that have been coming out over the past few days, weeks, and so forth and so on. And that is this Thursday. I will be teaming up with Josh from Victims and Villains to see the brand new X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix, in Alamo Theater down in Winchester. Now, how we are going to be recording things, I'm not exactly sure, but we'll be recording a review right then and there. I'll be trying to bring my equipment with me, hopefully, and a few flyers for those who want to catch our review at a later date. So stay tuned for that. But for right now, let's get into talking Godzilla. And let me just say, I was a long-time, old-school Godzilla fan, and I loved watching the Toho fans. Let me just say this. For those of you who watched a good portion of last night's, or I should say Saturday night's, Sasha the Princess of Darkness podcast or live stream that we did the Saturday, June 1st, we kind of talked in about Toho and the whole aspect of anything, but to go into a little bit here, because I know a lot of you did not hear that podcast or watch that live stream, I'm a big Toho fan. There is an aspect of Toho. Toho was the original company that brought us Godzilla and a lot of these kaiju monsters from the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. The original Godzilla movie came out in like 58. Depending on which version you saw, there was always kind of two types of versions. One version that was kind of imported here in the States, and another version that everybody in Japan kind of saw, which is the atypical norm for what a lot of stuff that we get from Japan. It's either not so much censored, but it's adjusted more so for American audiences. The thing is, right now, the kaiju type monster movies that we've been getting, I'm excluding Pacific Rim in this. I'm talking about the ones that have been put out over the past 4 or 5 years. That is, you know, they're from Legendary. They're not the stuff that a lot of folks that were in my generation grew up with watching on syndicated TV that we knew and loved. And granted, I'm coming from a perspective that I didn't see the 2014 Godzilla film. Yes, I should have, but I didn't. I heard the reason why I saw this movie instead of first watching the original, I won't say the original, the 2014 movie, is because I heard it was not the best, that the monster aspect of it, the kaiju, fighting kaiju, was very minimal. It was maybe about, out of a 2-hour movie, it was maybe cut down to maybe 10-15 minutes, and that was it. So I didn't bother watching it in any way, shape, or form. I think it is on Hulu to watch for free. I might do that at some point. When I do, I might update this review. Maybe either before or next week's review with Josh. I might include that adjustment. But for now, I'm just going to concentrate with the movie I just saw. Now, I will say this. From what I've heard, the 2014 movie, it was a better job than the 1998 Matthew Broderick film. But what I'm going to be doing is strictly comparing this movie with how kind of Toho's process in doing movies. And because that's what I grew up with, that's what I was and kind of still am a fan of, is how Toho did their presentation of films. And let me also say that when a lot of folks like myself hear Toho, the bar is not raised really high. I mean, you could pretty much step over the bar. We're not expecting much. We're kind of expecting, when a lot of fans like myself hear Toho, and that we're going to see Toho on streaming, or there's a fan event somewhere and we're going to see it on a big screen, and it's the older Toho movies. Again, we're not expecting a whole lot. We're expecting models to get blown up, a guy in a rubber, or a person in a rubber suit, for the most part. Not great special effects, bad, for the most part, bad dubbing or okay dubbing. We're expecting the equivalent of a B movie, or something that's trauma-esque in all sense of the word. But that's what I'm trying to compare this with. I wasn't really sure what I was going into in regards to this, but spoilers ahead. Now I'm talking about the what's considered Godzilla 2 or Godzilla King of Monsters. This particular film felt mostly exposition or actor, actress heavy. There was a sizable chunk of creature in it and creature battles, but I don't think Legendary does not have that history of how to do this type of genre, because it's something that is not really known here in the States. This was primarily an Asian thing that came over here, and this is us trying to do that. And now it's America trying to do it modernized, when the whole thing is like, instead of giving it to someone like good old Troma Man himself, looking back for director, I am leaning back here, Lloyd Kaufman, to do it properly with a budget, but they don't understand. My point, this was, overall, if you're not a Toho fan, you're not originally a Godzilla fan, yet it's an okay film, it's a decent film, it's maybe a 7 out of 10 at most, but coming from a trauma aspect, again, this movie was dark. Again, it could be the theater that I saw it at. From what I hear from a few other people, again, it was not just me that the movie was, I don't mean dark as in bad visuals, it was, or bad story, dark storyline, it was just visually dark. A lot of people thought that the eco storyline was a light on the touch. This was, it was, but it used it more so like a crutch a lot of the times, where it was very light in the Toho type of ordeal. And it just, with this, you had a good cast, you had a lot of fan service in this. You had the theme songs for Godzilla, Rodan, Mothra, Ghidorah. It just was fan service, but I think they didn't really. They did it for the fans, saying in a way to get those fans in the theater to boost the numbers. And speaking of those numbers, yes, it was number one this week's box office with about $49 million, with the worldwide gross being about 170 now, or 180. And the thing is, it has, from what I heard, the estimate worldwide was supposed to be about $250 million. It didn't even hit that mark. I think it's because a lot of people are saying that it's okay. It's better than the 2014, but not many people are interested in Godzilla. Not many people are interested. I don't think King Kong did that well, but not many people are in that type of into that type of genre. There, I did like, even though I'm probably not. Even though I said spoilers, I'm not really spoiling anything. Do I recommend going to see it? Yes, I do. A lot of the folks that are in it did a good job. Millie Bobby Brown was in it. Most of you might know her from Stranger Things. She's a decent actress, but I don't think she was either A, utilized correctly in this, or she might have not have been a fit for this type of movie. I think they just brought her into this because of her celebrity being of Stranger Things, and Stranger Things is coming out this August, and they figure, oh, let's bring in Millie Bobby Brown because everybody knows her from Stranger Things, and we'll get that audience, and we could be able to get those folks saying, hey, remember watching Godzilla as a kid? And you like Stranger Things because of not only is it a good story and has a great cast? Well, we combined that with Godzilla, and we combined that with a little bit of Stranger Things by having Millie Bobby Brown and Godzilla in the same movie. Yay! That's a great idea. But it just doesn't work. I'm not saying they didn't do a bad job. They did a good job with what they had and everything else. Just that the overall story mix was wrong. Or not done right. And meaning that if you watch a classic Toho movie, even something, I'll say something from at least 95 back, or 2000 back, because there was one that came to the States called Godzilla 2000. And I do remember seeing this in the theaters, and I was in glee watching Godzilla 2000 because it was an official Toho movie, or I should say an official Godzilla movie from Toho. And the thing about, let me explain this. The thing about Toho Godzilla movies is that everything was, the best word I could use, braided. You didn't have a sizable chunk about A, that took up way too much time, a sizable chunk about B, and with a loose thread between each of those being Godzilla. And with the last chunk of the movie being Godzilla versus Monster of the Year or Monster of the Week, everything was mixed properly, that it wasn't done too heavily. This was just, okay, let's have about an hour and a half of pretty much exposition and setting up Rodan, setting up Mothra, setting up this device that's that, or I should say, I forgot what the tournament's called this mulligan. I won't say mulligan. This device that's able to quote unquote communicate with all the monsters, and it just set up, and the only payoff was a little bit of fight at the end. That was it. And yes, there's a little bit of a end credit scene. I wasn't expecting it, but I was just following the lead of some of the people that there. I think somebody said that there was an after credit scene. I just stuck around. The credits were not that long, so it came, it showed up, it set up possibly another movie after Godzilla vs. King Kong, which is coming out next year. I don't think, with Legendary, what they're doing, this is not going to be something that is a payoff for Legendary films. I don't think it deserves this type of run, even though it's probably making more money than the whole Dark universe that Universal tried to do with all its pretty much monsters, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Frankenstein, and the Mummy, that it was trying to do with that set. This is probably working more, or Universal is trying so damn hard to make this work. And I will say this, quite possibly, if there was more of a superhero kind of was falling closer to the wayside, and people were like, okay, I'm done with the superhero genre, I'm done with all these, you know, Marvel movies, I'm done with all these, you know, monster Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type movies, I'm done with the zombie movies, I'm done with the vampire movies, this could actually have worked. This is something there. Are they kind of setting up some people? I think Big Candy might have said it himself. I've might have said it in episode two past, and that was the aspect of they're trying to do or set stuff up now. Meaning, if the aspect of Godzilla remakes here in the States are not working, if the Dark Universe with, i.e., the classic vampire, werewolf, mummy isn't working now, they can reboot it in 3, 4, or 10 years from now, when or as soon as everybody gets that superhero fatigue and no one wants to make superhero movies anymore other than Disney. But that's probably a conspiracy rant for another time, about that the reason why Disney wants to pump it out is because they have something to cater to boys. Do I blame them for that? No. I think it's something that we've said on the show before, where Disney, prior to acquiring Star Wars and Marvel, it was primarily, even though it was primarily for kids as a whole, with the Disney Channel and a good, decent chunk of its movies, but it was geared mostly to girls and young women. Let me expand that. Girls, young women, and women. The whole female part of the gender. I know that sounds sexist, but I'm sure that there's a lot of boys, young men and men that love the Disney princess stuff, but I'm talking about Disney's basic mindset up until acquiring Star Wars and Marvel. Their business aspect was primarily girls and the young girls, teens, and women. Now with Star Wars and superheroes, they could gear a lot of the chunk towards boys. They could hit, both sides. Now, there's something to be said that women can be superheroes. I'm not knocking that. Women can be a part of Star Wars. Again, I'm not knocking that. Look at Rey. Look at Captain Phasma. Look at Wonder Woman in regards to the superhero genre. Wonder Woman. Captain, as much as people didn't like the Captain Marvel movie, I have to bring it up. Captain Marvel. Scarlet Witch. The whole aspect of that ordeal, the female strong woman mindset in regards to it. So I cannot argue that. It's a fair point. They could have something new to sell to girls and to show girls you don't have to be a princess. You can be a captain, a captain of an army or a general of an army. You can be a superhero. You don't have to be a Disney princess. You don't have to be a princess. You can be a mighty person in battle. You can be a hero. And I don't have any problem with that. Go for it. Do it. Encourage that. Encourage them to be a hero. Also encourage them to be doctors, lawyers, leaders in their own aspect, entrepreneurs. Do it, because that's what women need to know as well. They can do things by themselves as a strong woman, and they should be shown that and encouraged that. And if Disney wants to use the as much as a lot of times I might gripe about it, in regards to how they do it, not why, how they do it. I'm not saying it's a invalid point, but I will, if they do it poorly, I will gripe, and it's my position to gripe about it and talk about it, despite how they don't like to hear criticism. I will criticize, I will gripe if it's done poorly. But in regards to Godzilla, there was a lot of fan service. A lot of what the upgrades that they did to make like Ghidorah more animalistic in some aspects. Did Legendary drop the ball? Yeah, they kind of dropped the ball. They didn't have when they showed the monsters battling each other. They didn't show, everything was already destroyed, but they didn't show getting destroyed. It was already destroyed. That kind of point. We wanted. That's why I think a lot of people liked Pacific Rim, because things were getting destroyed. They weren't already destroyed. They were getting destroyed. That's what people wanted to see. They didn't really shoot. It improved. Did it improve over the 2014? I've heard a lot of people say yes, and it's what a lot of people wanted. But I think there overall it did have its issues from a casual fan standpoint. The movie might have been okay from a normie standpoint or an average moviegoer, but back to Disney a little bit, because we here at the show have topic ADD. In regards to that, when Disney is, everybody's not really focusing on the Disney remakes, what Marvel superhero movie of the week that they're putting out, and everybody's tired of that, everybody's tired of Star Wars, then Legendary has that foothold in the door, and they could probably use these movies as a way to remake these movies to get people into something new. And speaking of Star Wars and Disney, there was an article that came out a few days ago. It was Ron Howard's response to the fan base in regards to the people that he wanted to do a sequel to Solo 2, but it was the fans' fault that it bombed. It was the trolls that bombed this movie. No, Ron, you did a good job. I admire what you did, but it wasn't the trolls that bombed this movie. It was it was a combination thereof. The fans that bombed, caused this movie to bomb. The fans and the people who hired you to do this movie. It is as much their fault as it is the fans' fault. lest you forget that we're not back in the days when you were making Splash. This is the day and era of the 24/7 news culture. We have Reddit. We have Facebook. We have, dare I say, 4chan. We have, I want to say, concentrate mostly on three aspects. Four, Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. And news gets out, Ron. News gets out. When news got out that the person in charge of Lucasfilm fired the two directors at when they were making Solo at the time, and hired you to refilm Solo. Not just 10%, not just 25%, but 75% of the movie. That hurt the bottom line, because it, from what I've heard, added close to $250 million to cost to make the movie. $250 million added to the cost already put onto the movie. If it was just you doing it and the total was just $250 million, then no problem. Not to mention, when it came out close to 5 months after Last Jedi. 5 months after. Not 8 months. Not a year where it would have had a chance to kind of, the fans kind of having that time to cool down over being pissed off of Last Jedi. That they would be ready to watch Solo, a Star Wars story, then, yeah, the numbers could have been higher. But no, Disney released it about 5 months after Last Jedi. And guess what happened with Last Jedi? Half the fans got pissed. Pissed of how Last Jedi was put together in regards to the story, with what happened to the movie. They were not ready for Star Wars, or your version of Star Wars, Solo. They were not ready. And when they heard it, especially when they heard Solo, was meh. Not, this is awesome. This is awesome. They didn't go see your version of Solo, a Star Wars movie. They stayed away. And now, you're not getting it. As much as you want to, as much as you want to hire your brother to be another cameo in the movie, you're not going to get it. Literally, you're not going to get that. As much as a lot of fans, let's do petitions and bug Disney and Lucasfilm to do Solo, a Star Wars story too. What are you going to do? You know what? You know what? I'm going to give you Solo, a Star Wars story too. And guess what? It's going to save Disney $250 million. Here's what you do, fans. You go out, watch Star Wars Episode 1, because that's Solo, a Star Wars story, Episode 2. That's what it is. That's basically what it is. Because Solo, what's it say? What are you going to do? Do the run in regards to how he fucked things up in regards to Jabba the Hutt? That's going to be a half-hour movie. See, if they do something like that, they could save that for Disney Plus. So screw a 2.5-hour movie or a 2-hour movie and wasting $250 freaking million dollars again, $100 million, whatever. Because the only sequel that you could give in this aspect is Star Wars Episode 4. That's it. That's it. You're going to the only way you could go is spend 2 hours in regards to what? The job that Solo took from Jabba? No. And besides, If I would say this, I would go as much as this. If the expanded universe was still in play and Disney didn't say, screw you guys, we're wiping the expanded universe clean and starting over, then I could say you might have a shot with that sequel. But you don't have that. You don't have source material to fall back on. So, Ron, as much as I admire what you tend to do, and even though I'm not a big fan of a lot of your work, shut up. Leave the fans alone. Shut up. I understand you want work. You need to eat. But shut up. And with that, let's move on to another Disney-owned property. Henson Productions. That's right. Disney does. I think they still own Henson Productions. And this past week, we got an official trailer with in regards to the prequel series for Dark Crystal. And I think I put that back because I was trying to lead into this segment. And that is the Henson Productions putting out a series for Netflix. And it is the infamous Dark Crystal prequel. Whether or not they're going by the manga or not, I don't know. I haven't read the Dark Crystal prequel manga that was released 10 years ago. But it's kind of hard to say what it is based on. It is the prequel. I think it's going to be based on the manga. If it is, I might have to look into it and read it to see it actually matches in a way that prequel. But from what I've seen in the trailer, oh my god. Oh my god. I can't wait. Oh my god. Now, again, folks, you gotta understand, this is Henson Productions. And meaning that this is not some run-of-the-mill production company where they are going to fuck this up. This is Henson Productions, and Henson Productions is run by Jim Henson's kids, I think, for the most part. And since Brian Henson, who is Jim Henson's son, worked with dear old dad in a lot of projects and learned from dear old dad, there's going to be a chance, there's a strong chance that this is going to be awesome. And for those of you out there who are skeptical in regards to this, but old school Dark Crystal fans, I'm going to cite one example. Farscape. Go up, watch Farscape. Because, granted, Farscape came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. Let me just say this. It was a combination of CGI, puppetry, and practical effects. Along with human characters as well, with prosthetics. That was for the time, it was on par. It was yes, there were a few things that were done cheesy in it, but it was, some could say it was a proof of concept, meaning that, hey, we're able to do, we're trying to work CGI with what we can do with puppetry and practical effects. Granted, they did okay with, I think, a movie that came out in 2006, 2007 called Mirror. It was based on a Neil Gaiman comic or graphic novel. But it's kind of hard to say. I didn't really get into that movie when it came out. But it just proves that Henson Productions likes to fiddle and try and push the envelope when it comes to practical effects and puppetry and CGI, and see what they can do to make things a whole combination together and kind of mash it up and present it like, look what we can do. And it's always an awesome job what they can do. And Are they using a lot of the same stuff that they used from the 1980s film Dark Crystal? No. The reason why is a lot of the stuff that they might have had in storage or sold to collectors, they don't have. Because A, one, it was sold to collectors. And two, according to Brian Henson in a podcast known as, at the time, Nerdist, now it's known as ID10T, run by Chris Hardwick. He spoke to Chris Hardwick saying that the stuff that was made from Labyrinth and Dark Crystal no longer exists, not because it sold, is that it wasn't meant to last. And meaning that, he said, meaning if you had one of the puppets from Dark Crystal in a box and opened up to admire it one at 12 p.m. on a Saturday, and you went back 3 hours later to check up on it or to show somebody who came over, it would be a pile of dust. Meaning what would be considered the skin or the outer part of it would be a pile of dust. And that meaning it will go from mint to pissy in a span of a few hours. So that's compared to something like Kermit the Frog or Big Bird or Burton and Ernie or one of the standard felt or spongy type Muppets that are out there that could last to this day. And I think the Smithsonian has a Kermit on display somewhere. It's been a while since I went to Smithsonian to look at the displays to see what's changed. I know they were revamping it the last time I was there, I think 5 years ago, and that was to go for a convention like Otakon. That was just to enjoy the DC sights and sounds of the museums. So, what more can I say? What more can I say? Am I excited? What else? I ranted about Star Wars. I ranted about Henson. What more can I say? Let me bring up our... Yes. I do almost forgot about this. I have to test the update. And that is... just give me a pause for a second, folks. I'll be right back. I'm back. And what I was saying is that there was a free update... you can't really call it DLC, but it was promoted as an update, and that was for Crackdown 3. Meaning Crackdown 3 got some stuff added to the game. Apparently there was not just an update, it was some stuff added to both the campaign and to the online aspect. Completely for free for everybody, and the campaign aspect of things was called Keys to the City. It just is pretty much the campaign with a few fun extras. Pretty much Keys to the City. You want to have some fun, just wandering around, blowing stuff instead of working the campaign. Just wandering, but you just want to wander around. Kind of work the campaign and just blow stuff up. Yeah, this is pretty much what you're able to do. It's for those type of people. People like me that I should be streaming on Twitch or Mixer. Just wandering around, messing people up, kind of fiddling with the campaign. But just want to have some fun and stream and not worry about, you know, dying 15 million times and trying to keep my stream fairly clean and straightforward. But what the for Keys to the City adds, okay, according to the article, and I did try it, it's different, it's fun, it makes things a heck of a lot easier, but it'll allow me to go through the campaign. But here's what you get with Keys to the City. According to the article, it says this campaign update exposes a deep menu of tools and cheats, including Agent abilities, which is raise your skills and give yourself infinite health, ammo, and gadgets. Spawn objects, which according to the article is fill the streets with enemies, vehicles, exploding props, and more. Elemental fists add fire, ice, electric, and toxic effects to your melee attacks. Add super speed. Next point is super speed and jetpack. Run faster and fly higher than Daddy Duck himself. And there's like supposedly new achievements worth 250 gamer score with it. For the Wrecking Zone or the update, which I should be playing to see how it is, but I haven't really gotten into the multiplayer, but this is what's added to that. And it has a new, says here, but that's not all. We've also updated Wrecking Zone, adding a brand new progression system that features 100 tiers of vanity items. Earn agent points in Wrecking Zone matches, in Wrecking Zone matches to unlock each tier. Next point is your agent, your style. Vanity items include holographic lens, adornments, helmets, weapon skins, and more. And the final thing that was added is new overdrive skills. Now select from 6 types of overdrive skills to really step up your boom. Now, this stuff, let me just say this. Crackdown does not have any microtransactions. It's just a game you can play just for shits and giggles. You can play it straight. You can now play it with, in essence, cheats and have some fun. If I want to stream for an hour or something like that, it's something I can now do on Twitch or Twitter, which I should start back up doing. I know over the past few weeks, physically, and I'm going to admit it here, mentally, I have not been up to par. I do apologize for that. I just have to get my mojo back a little bit. So, and get into the stream, into streaming like I was doing earlier this year with Halo, with Borderlands, and now, excuse me, with Crackdown 3. I have that opportunity. I know over the next couple of weeks, there were rumors of Borderlands, not Epic Games, but the company, 2K Games and Gearbox putting out a new DLC. They're putting out a DLC for Borderlands 2 and the Handsome Jack Collection. If you still are using your Xbox 360 or PS3, you're able to get this DLC. Or if you're using the Handsome Jack Collection on PS4 or an Xbox One, you're able to get this DLC. And it's rumored to be released in the next 2 weeks or so. And it's supposed to bridge the gap between Borderlands 2, or I should say help bridge the gap between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3. Now, granted, we did have the Telltale's game, which kind of continued the story of Borderlands 2. But I guess not many people like Telltale games or familiar with the game or have it. So this would help. I'm expecting that this is maybe a $10 type of add-on. Now, whether or not we get a... what's part of this DLC, I don't know. But we've always gotten a few extra goodies from Gearbox. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get some extra keys with this. Maybe we'll get another character with this. But having new content for a game that's been out for, I want to say, a good 5, 10 years. It's been a good 5 years. I want to say that. I think Borderlands 2 came out in roughly 2012-ish, if not 2010, 2012, 11. I know a year or two later, the prequel came out at came after 2, and then we have the within about 6 months or a year after that, we had the Handsome Jack Collection coming out for Xbox One and PS4. Now, whether or not what's going to happen, who knows? I'll get it, and as soon as I get the DLC and figure out where the spawn point is to jump into this game, I will start it on, probably stream it on one of the services. So hopefully I'll let you guys and gals know about that. I know if you want to hear me and Sasha talk about the PS4 in regards to news and but before we go into more gaming stuff, I want to take a break from it and talk about the new Terminator trailer that came out, or I should say whatever number it is now. Am I excited for it? Not really. Am I going to watch it? Probably, because I could already see the hate burning on both sides in regards to this this movie. Granted, I think this is a James Cameron release for it. If I'm wrong, please let me know by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and or leaving a comment on our Facebook page or so forth and so on. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, or send let us know on Twitter by adding us on let me rephrase that, by adding us at our handle, which is Longcoat Mafia, and we will get back to you and make corrections as we go. Now, we will be getting more and more on this. It's like, it didn't grab me. It did not literally grab me. And the thing is, now, with trailers, a lot of folks the reason why I don't talk about trailers in my reviews is that I don't see the trailers. I literally don't see the trailer other than when I share them to all of you. And that's the first that's probably the first and only trailer I see up until the movie. Meaning, yes, I've seen more of the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer than I have anything else over the past few months. But let me just say this. Other than the trailer I shared with you for the new Terminator movie, the trailer I shared to all of you for the new Dark Crystal, and any other trailer I share, that's the only, usually the only trailer I share. Now, I might see additional trailers like Spider-Man, Far From Home, but for the most part, I'm only watching one trailer. So it's kind of hard for me to say or agree with reviewers when they say something like, there was one YouTuber that said a lot of the money shots that were in the Godzilla trailer were in the movie. Or say a lot of stuff that would have been the money shots in the movie or the great stuff to see in the movie was the stuff that was in the trailer. So it kind of ruined that aspect for them. Now, that's why I don't like watching the trailers that much, if at all. Another case in point is the aspect of with the last Terminator movie, Terminator Genisys. It was a decent movie. It was a good movie. It was a movie that was done right, and I believe it could have been done better if it was rated R. But it wasn't, but for what it was a good movie. But what happened? It was spoiled with the trailer. And this is what happens with a lot of trailers. They bust their wad, they blow their wad in the trailer, thus, you know, but everybody's watching these trailers on TV by watching one program or not, but I don't watch that much TV. I don't see the ads that much on YouTube. This is going to come out wrong. A lot of times when I watch Hulu or an app like it, I'm seeing more ads for Advil, maxi pads, and car commercials than the trailers that a lot of movies are trying to put out there. Heck, I've seen more Super Bowl Doritos commercials or beer commercials than the trailers. But for me, that's a good thing. But I don't have that comparison. And let's kind of move on, because I want to say talk about a little bit of what I've heard about Xbox One. Or say the Xbox Two. We won't know too much about Xbox Two until E3. Or at least what a lot of people are thinking. We won't hear what the system is going to look like, or a lot of the details until E3. That same thing goes for the PS5. Now, what has come out in regards to specs, the PS5, from what I heard, is going to finally have cross-platform play. Whether or not Sony goes through that, I don't know. Over the past 6-8 months, they've been doing, when it comes to when crossplay is brought up, they are yes, no, maybe, yes, no, 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 no way, we ain't doing that shit. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, we're doing that. We're going to do, but we're going to wait until PS5. I'll believe it when I hear the announcement, but with Xbox 2, if you want to call it the Xbox 2, there is going to be, for the first year or two, there is going to be a lot of games that are going to be put out for the Xbox One family of systems and the Xbox 2, kind of like what they did with the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, or should say the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. There is going to be cross-play with a lot of stuff with them, because a lot of word was coming out that they're working. Not only is it going to be cross-play with PC, but word is coming out with probably Nintendo Switch, because that's what they were working with. Just at the time when that whole Microsoft Xbox announcement was coming out, at that time Sony didn't want to shake hands with anybody in regards to crossplay. They had the whole aspect of mine. So that's the whole thing with that, and there's going to be a whole lot of plethora of new stuff coming with the Xbox 2, including a new dashboard, which usually will piss off a lot of fans, because fans tend to hate change sometimes. When the 360 first came out, the dashboard sucked, literally sucked. Then it kind of got better, but when it hit that perfection of a 360 dashboard, the Xbox One came out. I should say the 360 had a great dashboard. Then it kind of switched things over to kind of mirror the Xbox One, which made the 360 dashboard suck. The Xbox One platform at the time, when I got my hands on it, I didn't like it. It took me a long time to learn the Xbox One dashboard. I still haven't learned it. But it's gotten better. I have it to where I like it right now. And everything's set up nice and neat for me. So, we're going to have to wait for that particular coverage to come out. So, by the time E3 rolls its ugly head, it should be about the second week or third week of about midway second week of June. That is about 2 weeks from now. So by the time E3 is over and done with, we'll be at the probably coming off the library con. So there might be another crossover event between us, those not so super dudes, and Victims and Villains, stemming from the library Comic Con here in Martinsburg, which we'll be at, and that way we could all cover the E3 and get everybody's word in regards to E3 and have one big live event. So that's a good thing. I know Josh from Victims and Villains is a big PS4 fan, so he'll have his views. Not to mention, if it happens prior a week prior to the LibraryCon. We'll still get their input and what they had to think, and have all of you out there listen to their thoughts. So that's always a good thing. I know I'm stoked, especially the fact that if everybody is starting to get on board the crossplay wagon, and you have crossplay between the Switch, 360, and PS5. Not 360, the Xbox 2 and the PS5. That means that, even though I would love to finally play online with Big Candy with a particular game, I'd be just as happy and just as stoked as playing on my Xbox 2 when I finally get one, and playing against Josh from Victims and Villains, my personal friends that I have that have PS4, that are PS Sony fanboys, and probably Sasha as well. So that would be an awesome thing. I can't wait to hear and know more. Just that the price point will be probably a son of a bitch on both sides, meaning that by the time the systems find out, now PS5 had a rumor of a $500 price tag, which is going to hurt a lot of folks. And I think the PS5 and the Xbox 2 is probably scheduled to come out sometime this year or early next year. Again, we won't know until E3. Therefore, what's going to happen is by the time these systems come out, they might be costing not $500, but more than $500 because of the president's tariffs that he's tacking on with certain countries like China and Mexico. And because a lot of the parts for these consoles come from China and Mexico, guess what's going to happen? These systems are not going to be a $500 system or a $400 system. There might be a $500 system and a $600 system, which is going to be a son of a bitch, especially for a lot of folks out there that live on the lower end of the income spectrum. Meaning, I waited 3 years, 4 years before I got my Xbox One, and that had to be a pawn shop find, because that's what needed to be for me to afford it, have it on layaway at a pawn shop, and I got a great deal. So, what else can we talk about? Let's see what our phone has to say. Let's go to our show Facebook page. I know there was a couple other stuff that we could probably talk about and chat. If not, we can end it with this. We're at about an hour as it is. We'll come back to that. And you know what? I'm going to let you guys and gals know. It was announced that the Alien 3, not what we saw in theaters. There was an original script tying the movie Aliens. It was going to be a direct sequel to the movie Aliens. Not what we got, but it was going to have the same, pretty much the same cast. And it came out, it was announced that is Alien 3 is, the original Alien 3 script is now an audio drama, and it's through Audible. Now, can't wait to hear it. I'm going to have to speak to Uncle Tony about it. Plus, there's a few other stuff that not so much we could talk about. There's some things I could talk here about it, but I'm going to save some. Again, there's a whole mess of stuff that I want to get caught up with Big Candy on and hear his side of things and what he has to say regards to some of the stuff. And I'll have to get those show notes ready. And especially right now, it being I won't say as time when this is posted up, it will be June 3rd. So we're starting by the time this month ends, or when Independence Day rolls around, we're kind of quasi celebrating our fourth anniversary this month, because this is when everything was falling into place with the show. Me getting things ready with iTunes, getting the equipment, testing the equipment, testing the Audacity, testing the mic that we had, and just putting everything together. And once everything got together and everything came to a head, June 11th, 2015, and hopefully by the end of this month, and when that time comes, rolls around, we'll have a great anniversary special for all of you as well. We're hitting 4 years. We're in that mark when we officially began the show. Right now, we're in the unofficial beginnings of the show. So, we're hitting our four-year anniversary, and it's going to be what the next year brings. I have no idea, and I hope all of you come with us for this fifth upcoming year, because we've been doing this for 4 years, and it's going on to 4 years. We're in that countdown. So, for those of you who have been listening for a long time, email, I'd like all of you to email us. Please do so. Email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And I would love to hear your thoughts on how the show has changed over the year. Did we change for the better? Did we change for the worse? How we can improve in year five, over the next couple of years? We want to hear how you found us, what you thought. Do you miss Zombie Bunny? What's missing? Is there something missing in the show in regards to how we can improve? And therefore, maybe we can't. So, that being said, I'm going to end it here. And please continue with us over the next year, because a lot of stuff are coming up, at least in the past next couple of weeks. Hitting that, we got the Virginia Bigfoot Convention down in Waynesboro, Virginia, with Daniel Benoit. We got the Library Comic-Con a week prior, which is the 22nd of June. The Daniel Benoit's Bigfoot Conference is a week later on the 29th. The 6th, I'll be with Josh from Victims and Villains recording our review and our take in regards to X-Men, Dark Phoenix. So, we'll have a discussion on our thoughts and everything else in regards to that, probably for you next week. I cannot wait. Plus, in the end of July, we have the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market. So, a lot of stuff is happening. And, meaning, by the time we get done bringing all of you content from what we get in June, by the time the Punk Rock show hits, we'll be having some more stuff for you. So please stick around, engage with us, share our show, hit that like button. Please, it helps us a lot beat the algorithms that constantly are against us on Facebook, on YouTube, and everywhere else. If you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us a review, a 5-star review. Leave a comment too in regards to what you think of the show. Please do so. It does help the show. At one point it hasn't. Now it kind of does. I won't say on iTunes, because things are changing with iTunes. So if you're on whatever place you're listening to us, please leave us a review if you can. It does help the show. Like, review, comment, please comment on Facebook, on YouTube, on our website, if you're able to do it there. Where you can find us. For now, you could still find us on iTunes, but on your desktop device, as well as I should say, on the time before the time being, for on your desktop and laptop devices, you can find us on iTunes for the moment, because we'll be covering that at some... I might ask Josh's permission, Josh's opinion, when I see him this Thursday. So, for the moment, again, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And you can find all our episodes going way back to the beginning. That's almost four years of content. 4 years of content. Go back to see how far we have come. Who we interviewed. Who we spoke to. The panels we brought to you. And maybe we should start getting back into Twitter with Flashback Tuesdays, Flashback Fridays, Remember Thursdays or something like that, Wild Wednesdays, and I'll try to bring you an interview that we done from a four-state event, or a panel that we done from a four-state event, or an interview that we had in studio, like the ones from Earl, who has been a classic fan favorite. So stay tuned to iTunes, our main webpage, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, plus a lot of places that you could probably find us too, but on your desktop or laptop, that's where you could probably find us the most and the easiest. Now, as per folks in mobile, you can find us on the Apple Podcasts app. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on Spotify. And you can find us on the Podbean app. And with the Podbean app, just like our webpage, you could go all the way back to the beginning and hear how far we've come. So, and we do recommend. I openly implore you to listen to our back catalog. Because we have a lot of interesting independent episodes that can fit what you may like. And if you don't find what you like, or we're not covering a topic, and you really know that topic, I'll be more than happy to have you on, either through Skype or in studio. We'll work with you in regards to that. And just having you on the air to talk about it. Now, we are on YouTube. Just search for The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Each one's a different word, separated by spaces. It will come up. It's usually, depending if you don't have some wacko wanting to talk about the Trench Coat Mafia, we're usually the one of the first two or three searches that come up channel-wise. Now, we don't have this. We ask you to subscribe to our channel while you're there, because we only have about 15 subscribers right now, and it's the best way to see additional content we might bring to you in regards to where we've been. Like if we go to the library pop culture show this year, you know, not if, when we go, we could show you around what it's set up, who's there this year, how many people are showing up. The same thing with the Bigfoot conference later this month. You'll be able to see that, and not just hear us talk about it. You'll be able to look around and see what, in essence, what the show is like, and if that show, like that show, is right for you. Meaning, if there's one near you, you're able to say, hey, this might be actually something for me. Let's see, we do recommend to that, because, and not to mention, there's also going to be YouTube exclusives on our YouTube channel, not just our Facebook channel. Now, also, that being said, there might be Facebook exclusives, because the way YouTube tends to be with music and constantly false claiming and copyright claiming and the whole nine yards, if we're at an event with a lot of music in the background, we might put that video on Facebook. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's all one word. And hitting that like button and just seeing what we have to offer news-wise throughout the week. We've been posting up funny photos, news stuff, quick commentary on that news article via a text. And we might do a live stream every now and again. So please hit that like button on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We got to be on Twitter, getting back in the habit of being on Twitter more. Our Twitter handle is Longcoat Mafia. We are on Instagram as well. So not only will you be able to catch the videos of where we've been on YouTube, but some of the interesting people on at those events we put up on Instagram, as even though they show up on Facebook as well, but there's sometimes we put up stuff straight to Instagram and we don't share to Facebook. Our Instagram handle is also Longcoat Mafia. Now, we are on Twitch, and which is our Twitch channel is Longcoat Mafia Pod. There's no uppercases or lowercase. That's all lowercases. We will provide links. All the links will be in the show description, so stay tuned for that. Plus, our Mixer channel is mixer.com/LCMP. Those letters are in caps. Now, with Twitter, our Twitter channel is twitter.tv/LongcoatMafiaPod. So, again, all the links will be in the show note description, so you can click follow in a lot of the places that we mentioned. I know it's a lot of social media stuff that we are at, but we try to diversify what we do and do a lot for you guys and gals that want to different aspects of our show. I know it's a lot for one person, but we welcome you to those locations and be a part of our show. And the reason why we like to do live streams, like with the channel, game streaming, is it allows you to interact with us directly and get a direct response instead of posting up a comment. We want you to post up comments and likes, but it's more of a direct response and gives you the chance to be a part of a broadcast in a way. So that being said, I'm out. I'll see you all next week. Enjoy yourselves, and who knows what's going to happen. So take care. I am out. Peace.
You've been listening to the Longcoat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.